Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. Major Trump victory ended up taking place inside of the Ninth Circuit Court, not just for the National Guard being able to get deployed into Oregon, also into California. While we wait on everybody to pour in here this morning, I got a little report I want you guys to listen to coming out of Chicago.
In Chicago today, a large crowd gathering after what appears to be an immigration operation on the city's southwest side. Some people seen taking video of the agents and shouting at them. Our Chicago station reporting there was a car crash, but what led up to it or who was involved is not known. Armed federal agents and several unmarked vehicles on the scene. Just a day ago in New York, a chaotic scene as masked federal officers raid the city's Chinatown neighborhood.
It's gotten a little hairy at points with people running, people falling down in the street, and federal agents running after them.
Federal agents say they arrested 9 people on Canal Street, one of the city's most famous streets for vendors selling knockoff designer goods. In this video, one agent pointing his taser at the crowd, and in another, protesters on the streets shouting obscenities at officers. Acting ICE Director Todd Lyons saying today on Fox News, New York City can expect to see more arrests.
It's definitely intelligence-driven. It's not random. We're just not pulling people off the street. There was a specific reason based on criminal intelligence and criminal activity that we showed up on Canal Street.
Also Tuesday in Los Angeles, a targeted law enforcement traffic stop led to the shooting of a suspected undocumented immigrant and a law enforcement officer. According to the Department of Homeland Security, 44-year-old Carlitos Ricardo Parillas allegedly tried to evade arrest by using his car to ram a law enforcement vehicle. Officers then firing defensive shots, according to officials, with a deputy U.S. Marshal struck in the hand by a ricochet bullet. Parillas shot in the elbow. Parillas runs a well-known TikTok account with about 130,000 followers and follows ICE operations in Los Angeles, according to a community organization. He has been charged with assault on a federal officer.
A Department of Homeland Security official saying law enforcement officers are facing a 1,000% increase in assaults against them and calling for an end to violence against ICE.
You know, I got asked why I'm not talking about some of the wars that are going on overseas right now. Why am I not talking about Israel? Why am I not talking about Ukraine? And the very simple answer is what I noticed when I was over inside of Portland and what I am continuing to notice the deeper I look into what's taking place here in America is that we have a huge issue here at home. And while I have love for Ukraine and while I have love for Israel, the one thing that I absolutely have the utmost love and respect for is the United States of America, which I fought so dang hard to protect for so long, where my brothers have died for. So in the meantime, until this situation is under resolve, I'm going to be paying attention to my country. It doesn't mean I'm not going to be paying attention to Ukraine. It doesn't mean I'm not going to pay attention to Israel. No, what it actually means is that we have a very serious issue here in the United States. And I'm going to lay that case out for you guys today. I'm going to lay it out very, very clear for you guys today. If for some reason I haven't earned your trust at this point, that I know exactly what I'm talking about, I'm putting my focus where it needs to go, and I'm going to use my investigatory and skills along with my rational thinking to bring you guys actual truth. That's what I'm going to do because you guys need to see this crap. Ninth Circuit Court ended up approving yesterday, all right, that the Trump administration can, in fact, send the National Guard into Portland. That is now a fact. All right. Official Rob says, glad I found your channel. One good thing from the Portland fiasco. Yeah, I mean, I would hope so, man. I mean, there's nothing really good that ends up coming out of Portland, to be honest with you. To me, it's just a bunch of pissed off kids that have nothing better to do with their time. But maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe there's more to that, you know, but as a matter of fact, there is a hell of a lot more to it. We're going to go over it today. The funding, where it comes from. And I do believe at this point that it is a straight up insurrection that's taking place over there with politicized, you know, basically using money from Portland, using money from Seattle, filtering it through nonprofit organizations and making their way on down to these Antifa camps via NGO homeless organizations, believe it or not. So you guys are going to hear about that today. Incog Faraday, just, you're welcome, sir. Thank you for the reminder. C88, becoming a true supporter, although I thought you always have been. And Tristan Allen says, good morning, Matt. How you doing? Nick, sure they got attacked and maced. I saw that. Some of the Antifa thugs actually followed him, were attempting to follow him back towards his hotel last night over inside of New York. I don't know why he decided to run after them, but he did. And he ended up getting pepper sprayed as a result. Ended up seeing that. Now, Trump administration went even further and ended up filing more paperwork saying that this case no longer requires a review. And as it turns out, the court happened to agree with them. So there's not even going to be a review at all on that ruling. So Trump's going to be able to send his troops in there no matter what when he takes it. Now, here's another one, and this is going to piss Gavin Newsom off. All right. Ninth Circuit Court also agrees, all right, that Trump can send the troops into California as well if he so feels like it. And that is insane because Gavin Newsom has been going on forever trying to say that, you know, if Trump tries to do that, he's going to drop a lawsuit. He was holding up the paperwork yesterday, screaming he's got the paperwork. He's going to end up doing it. Well, look right here, filed October 22nd. They ended up denying. Rehearing en banc is denied. It's done. So if Trump so decides, which yesterday he came out and said that he's going to deploy 100 federal agents into San Francisco to start quelling that violence and start getting those illegals out of that sanctuary city, if he so chooses, he can now grab the National Guard and send them into California as well in order to assist with the federal agents making those lawful arrests. Why? Because he is exhausting all of his resources in order to make it happen. And the law doesn't state that anybody other than the executive branch has the ability to decide whether or not the National Guard is going to be deployed in that manner. And that is the crux of the entire situation over there. Gavin Newsom, though, he's not happy about it. He's talking about suing the Trump admin, which, again, he just lost. So I don't know why he's considering doing this.
We're going to be fierce in terms of our response. We are going to be focused, and quite literally, this is the lawsuit that I will file within a nanosecond of any efforts to send the military to one of America's great cities, San Francisco, that has enjoined 60% reduction in homicide, or rather, homicide reduction that's lowest it's been in 60 years. It's one of the safest large cities in this country. That's experienced an economic rebirth and growth. Only Donald Trump can wreck that.
No, that's not true, sir. You have quite literally, in fact, wrecked that. And just because your homicide rates are down doesn't mean that they weren't astronomically high and still aren't. Further, you can actually state that some of these things and a lot of the crimes that are taking place over inside of San Francisco, just like over in Portland, don't even bother getting reported anymore because they know the police aren't going to show up. And none of that negates the fact that you are harboring illegal aliens of the United States, like inside of the United States of America. And that within itself is all of the just cause that this administration needs to deploy ICE. As a matter of fact, he doesn't even have to do it. The Customs and Border Patrol has 100-mile free rein within U.S. borders, and that does include the coastlines, to go in and demand documentation from people that they suspect to be illegal immigrants. And if they cannot provide it, they're allowed to detain them. They're allowed to arrest them. Then they go before an immigration judge. And boy, oh boy, you want to talk about another big win that ended up happening for the Trump administration? Check this out.
One arrested will remain detained until they are deported, but some attorneys are now pushing back. This week, the federal government said in court that since July, more than 1,800 people have been arrested in the Chicago area. But having their day in court is not a guarantee. The immigration court is convoluted. It does not fall under the judicial branch. It falls under the executive branch. Mm-hmm. Separate from criminal court, a person's rights are much more limited. ABC 7 Chief Legal Analyst Gil Sofer.
The proceedings in an immigration court, they're not criminal, they're civil. The question isn't whether someone has committed a crime. The question is whether they can be deported. And the rights are different.
Now, a new immigration court directive could keep people detained much longer before they're deported. In September, the Board of Immigration Appeals, the top administrative body which interprets and applies immigration laws, released a new decision. For the first time in American
history, wait for it,
the court ruled immigration judges can no longer grant bond for undocumented.
Is anybody shocked by this right now? That we had people in federal custody who were inside of this country illegally, and we had judges actually issuing bonds, i.e. they are releasing them from, they're in the country illegally. They go before the immigration judge to figure out whether or not they should be allowed in this country and they should be deported. But instead, we end up releasing them on bond. How has that even been allowed to happen in the United States? If people are inside of this country illegally, they've broken the law, they have no business being here, they go before an immigration judge, and they were issuing bonds to these people back out onto the streets. That makes literally zero sense. And finally, a ruling came down that says, you know what? You can't issue bonds anymore to people that are inside of the country illegally. You can't just let people go. back here, because the odds of them showing back up are so ridiculous, it's not even funny. Why would anybody show up after they know that they're in this country illegally and they know they're going to end up getting deported? Why would anybody show back up? That is half the reason we have so many freaking illegals running around inside of this country right now. I know it's nothing new. Clearly it's nothing new. They just issued the ruling on it. But the fact that they had to do that blows my dang mind.
Immigrants who entered the U.S. without authorization, all but guaranteeing mandatory detention for those detained.
It is a monumental decision. It's a change in approach for sure.
DHS calling the ruling, quote, a big win for our ICE attorneys, securing our ability to detain illegal aliens until they are deported. But immigration advocates and attorneys say it's a total sea change.
It overturned decades of case law, of regulations and laws.
Judge Payton is a former assistant chief immigration judge who was fired by the Trump administration this past July. She says without cause. Now she's in private practice and says undocumented people seeking a bond hearing have to hire an attorney like her to file petitions in federal court.
Well, now you can't seek a bond hearing. You can't have a bond. And this lady likely got fired because she was giving them out left and right and not doing a dang thing about deporting people. She's probably ignoring her job. That's probably why she got fired. And then what area of practice does she go into? Becoming a bond attorney so that more illegals can get out.
Outside of immigration court to try to get relief.
Demanding that the federal courts review the decision of the immigration court and tell them that they're wrong and they should hold a bond hearing.
It felt very like dehumanizing.
Tonight at 10 p.m., the I-Team looks at one family challenging this new court directive, all to release their father.
The moment they put him in a van, we didn't know where he was going.
Probably back to his home country.
The administration over its no bond policy from being enforced. A hearing in that case is scheduled a week from today.
All because these immigration courts are under the executive.
It is ridiculous. This is not a criminal court. They have already broken the law. It is literally an administrative process to kick them out of the country. And that is the reason why this country is going to crap so ridiculously fast. Now, you want to talk about NGOs, homeless. I found this report and there's no point in me overdoing it. Now, there's something else that I'm looking into as well that's going to tie a lot of this funding back together. All right, because there is a multi-tiered system that is actually taking place over in the Northwest and other cities around the United States of America that's allowing this crap to exist. What this news report is about to tell you is that you have money that's being funneled from these major cities into nonprofit organizations that are fueling Antifa. And I mentioned it yesterday. We brought it up yesterday, and here is an actual report that ended up getting done on it. I want you guys to pay attention, because when we talk about it, like, look, you've got the city spending how much in Portland, did I say? $150,000 about was like the mean average. $150,000 since June, just cleaning up the trash from Antifa's homeless camp that they have set up outside of the ICE facility. And now what you're about to hear about is how they actually get their funding from the city anyways. And I want you to listen to this, because this is how all of this crap is going down. They are quite literally funding this with taxpayer dollars.
Rich, it's not just conservatives who say this is happening, is it?
Hi, Elizabeth. No, these are voices across the political spectrum here in Seattle, all grappling with the issue of homelessness, which is essentially a drug crisis as well, which you can see in virtually every park here in Seattle. I want our viewers to take a look at this park where the homeless essentially have taken over all their drug paraphernalia. We've spoken with three people here. Many people, but three people, a reporter, a longtime police officer, and someone who works inside the homeless advocacy here. And what they say and what we saw is beyond shocking.
Pretty much all the drug addicts, criminals, the black market of stolen goods.
By the way, I want to say Jonathan's actually a really stand-up dude. I met him when I was over in Portland. Solid guy. If you guys aren't following him, go over, find this man, follow him.
It all thrives here. I mean, look at this guy, completely blitzed out of his mind. He's ODing on something, has a sandwich in his hand. I mean, this, again, is a drug crisis.
Jonathan Cho is a reporter for Turning Point USA and a researcher for the Discovery Institute, a conservative group which collaborated on the report.
It's a totally lawless environment, Rich, and the city just allows this.
A year ago, this was a park built for the community. Today, it's the epicenter of Seattle's homeless and drug crisis. Every day, school kids pass by unfazed.
No one's getting at the root causes of what's happening here on the streets, and that's the problem, but that's exactly how this nonprofit homeless sector operates.
shows is it's all financial grift by the homeless industrial complex and that Antifa has infiltrated all of it.
Well, what's happening right here is being enabled by the homeless nonprofits. And the homeless nonprofits, the research shows, is working with far left militants and progressive groups and violent domestic terror.
You guys picking up what he's saying? The money's coming from the cities. The money's coming from all of these different like government entities and going into these homeless nonprofits. Those homeless nonprofits then are working with Antifa. So the money that the government's giving out that's supposed to be going to homeless, which, by the way, I will vouch, and I will tell you that I couldn't help but notice, and you're about to see here in just a minute, how Antifa does use these homeless people in order to go over and fuel these riots that are taking place outside of these ICE facilities, how they use the homeless population to their advantage. There's a very famous man over in Portland, and you guys are about to see him because he's back. His name's Richard. Guy that's always burning the American flag, clearly has mental illness. There's several of them out there that, in my opinion, probably have mental illness and are probably homeless. And there is people inside of that Antifa camp, and there's a reason I started calling it the Antifa homeless camp, that, in my opinion, are homeless. So you have money flowing from the government to nonprofits into Antifa's hand. And then to make matters worse, you then have the city blowing more money to clean up their homeless camp. So the government's just sending out money hand over fist, literally putting money out hand over fist in order to fuel all of this nonsense.
Like Antifa.
If it sounds far-fetched, take it from someone inside the homeless sector here.
It's the same faction of people who link up and protest and, you know, do the black block. And, you know, they're often the same people we see working inside social services.
Andrea Suarez, lifelong Democrat and Seattle resident, started a volunteer organization, We Heart Seattle, to clear trash from parks and homeless encampments.
Oh my God, you're so
She said she had no idea she'd come face to face with Antifa.
I've been attacked. My staff has been attacked. We've been pushed into traffic. We've had...
But here's the question. Yeah. Why?
I'm not in alignment with their ideology. They don't want the city cleaned. Who in their right mind would come after a middle-aged woman for picking up trash?
The connection between the homeless industrial complex and the tie-in to Antifa. It's there clear as day.
Mike Sol.
Now, before we get into that portion, I want you to listen to what that lady had to say. She ran a legitimate nonprofit that was literally just cleaning up camps. That's what she did. And she would be attacked because she has a different ideology. The ideology of these extremists, these anarchists, they're not, I can't even call them leftists, the people that are actually on the streets doing this, they're straight up anarchists, is that they should be allowed to do whatever they want. This lady goes in with her nonprofit in order to try to help out, but because she's got a different view on things, she gets attacked.
And has been with Seattle PD for 26 years and is the president of Seattle Police Officers Guild.
These activists, these Antifa mobs, the people that are supporting the homeless industrial complex, are the ones that target the police officers.
He says in 2020, Antifa firebombed his office.
People that align themselves with socialist political ideology are the ones that are causing a lot of the energy around anti-police, pro-homeless agenda that aren't interested in solving the problem.
They know that the homeless crisis is chaotic and out of control, and they want to take advantage of that chaos.
They don't want people to actually get help.
Now, this is one of the more complicated and eye-opening stories I've reported on recently, Elizabeth. We reached out to a number of the high-profile housing nonprofits in the homeless sector here. None of them even responded.
That is a huge sign within itself. Like, they are required to start talking about where their money is going, ladies and gentlemen, but you got to understand, like, it is limited description that they actually have to put down on this paperwork when they end up filing it with what they're actually doing with that money. And when you have members of Antifa that are living in those camps and that money is able to get out and go out to that, all of a sudden it's a problem, right? Because they can hide where all of their money is going. And you have people that are now coming on the record stating that this is in fact what is happening. Now, when you take into account that Antifa has got a camp that's set up right outside of the Portland ICE facility, and I know for a fact there's homeless people within that camp, it kind of makes you wonder how much money of these NGOs is being poured in there. When we look at the amount of supplies and stuff that is like stacked up over there on the street, yeah, it makes you wonder whether or not there's actual NGO funding that's being poured into these Antifa camps. I would say illegally, personally. I would say it's probably illegal in order for them to go about doing that, unknown at this time, because I don't have all of the facts and all of the information. But it makes perfect sense. I saw a video earlier where they just literally had gas masks that were stacked up over inside of these homeless camps, like free for the taking. They're improving. They're getting better and better and better. And this money is coming from the major municipalities, going into NGOs as a guise to help out the homeless, and it's going to funding Antifa. Yesterday, the amount of money that I uncovered that was actually going into these places is unreal. Now, if you don't want to take it from me, here, I want you to listen to this. This is the Assistant Attorney General, Pam Bondi.
Similarly, you saw the Black Lives Matter movement. You've seen Occupy Wall Street. These are all strains of different, you know, sort of European-centric Marxist violent ideologies that have come to the United States. Now, the most dangerous and pernicious of these is Antifa, and standing for anti-fascist, which is anything but, really. I became acquainted with a young journalist named Andy Ngo back in the 2018-2019 timeframe. I just saw his work online. He's talking about Antifa. He met me one time in San Jose. He wanted to meet me. He was visiting a family member, so I met him after court one day and got to become friends with him. And then he was violently assaulted in Portland while he was reporting on an Antifa rally slash riot. Violently assaulted, and these criminals had tactical military gear, hardened gloves, weapons. They came to harm and maim. It's not a phenomenon we see on American streets typically. It's kind of shocking.
And all of them in the same outfit.
So whether or not, and here's something important for you to understand, whether or not you agree with the words that are coming out of her mouth right now, that they are a violent organization, you also have to understand that this is the Assistant U.S. Attorney General. So the words that are coming out of her mouth matter, particularly in this situation when we're talking about Antifa and talking about them being violent and talking about her experience with them with a very widely known, I don't even want to call him an influencer because I don't think that's fair, independent reporter, independent journalist that's been covering Antifa for years. So you guys, pay attention to the words that are coming out of this woman's mouth because they are more important now than ever, and they absolutely matter. I want to read over some of these super chats. GovMetch says the bond was to allow them time to appeal. And yes, you're right. The parole at encounter under 46 was far more damning. Yeah, I agree. Since becoming a brand new Truth supporter, Incog Faraday says that's the face of what's going on in the U.S. Yep, 100%. You're about to actually see the face here in just a second. Fox McCloud, you can have a zero crime rate if you don't report it. That's in reference to Gavin Newsom in San Francisco. Old Man Weiss, gifted out of Speak the Truth membership. C88, forgot to renew yesterday. Ah, well, welcome back, brother. Official Rob Doherty, glad I found your channel. One good thing came from the Portland fiasco. I appreciate that. Incog Faraday, always appreciate you, brother, with your reminder. C88 coming in. New member, but he's not. Naked Dad, just 99 cent donation. Appreciate you, brother. And Tristan Allen says, good morning, Matt. How you doing? Nick Shirley got attacked and maced. Yep, and I'll recover that. Let's get back onto the story and listen to what the AAG has to say.
They're wearing masks.
This isn't just organic.
Pre-COVID, They're wearing masks on their faces, balaclavas, and their faces are covered, and they're there to do mischief and mayhem. And so I helped Andy in that situation as his lawyer. Eventually, he was attacked a second time, then he stopped doing his own because he became too recognizable to these criminals. Mm-hmm. And so he continues to report, but through proxies. And there's violence against the press is literally something that a civilized society like ours cannot tolerate. And yet we do tolerate it. Violence against the police. Portland Antifa, Seattle Antifa, they've put federal buildings and federal law enforcement, federal courts under siege. And so all I could do as a private lawyer in private practice is I started a nonprofit, Center for American Liberty, and we represented Andy in suing Antifa. Kind of novel because Antifa is a shadowy criminal organization, hard to file a lawsuit against someone, just hard to serve them, hard to find them. It was a very challenging case, and I'm proud of that case. The case went on for years, and we tried to serve people and all of that. We ultimately won a settlement from one of these criminals, and we won default judgments against some of them. We're never able to serve some of them. And
they so what are, makes it so shadowy?
Well, they're shadowy on purpose. Mm-hmm. They operate in tiny cells like a terrorist organization. They use burner phones. They, I think they actually prey on and recruit disillusioned, disaffected young people in our society.
You are hearing the same exact things from everybody that's looked into this. The types of people that are going out, how they're operating, that they're violent. And you're hearing this from different levels, different people, from investigative journalists on the ground all the way up to the AAG. You should probably pay attention to what they're saying.
Quite a few trans people are in the Antifa movement. I don't think I had seen more than one trans person in my life in the wild until the Andy Ngo case. And as I'm researching these people who attacked him, we would use videos, we would crowdsource who they are. Several of them are trans. Hmm. I don't know if it's the hormones or the fact that they're unhappy with their lives that made them good targets for this sort of anarcho-terror organization, but they are.
And we saw that just the other day with the Trantifa member that ended up assaulting that female over inside of Portland, who, by the way, both of their charges, it sounds like, ended up getting dismissed.
And so they form and they have their little cells, they do their little things, and then they disperse. They have leaders who travel from city to city and riot to riot. So they have leaders. We were able to identify some of those
networks.
Leaders. Networks. And so Andy is really the expert on this. I would recommend anybody to read his books on these issues and his reporting.
And she's not lying. We actually talked about this the other day. I identified multiple members of Antifa that are traveling around between San Francisco, Chicago, New York, Portland, all of these different locations, and they end up getting arrested, getting captured on video and everything. These are those organizational leaders that are actually out there putting in the hard work. And a lot of, like, the one guy I showed you was armed with a pistol, a knife, and very proudly displaying Antifa straight across his chest.
It's fascinating. It's a whole world I never knew existed. And frankly, for too long in this country, law enforcement hasn't done anything about it. And now the president has announced a focus on it. And so we have to get to the bottom of this, because nobody is free if there are cities in the United States with terror networks and cells plotting disruption of our transit or blocking our way to our courthouses or ICE or the police or journalists, literally attacking the heart of truth in our society.
So now you got to ask yourself, all of these different officials within the cities, how much of that information do they actually know? Because now it's not just a couple people on the street pissed off teenagers. Now it's we have money that's flowing in through nonprofit organizations into groups like Antifa. And that money is getting funneled through municipalities into the nonprofits. That means that people approve that money to go to those particular nonprofits. So the question is, are the people approving the funding actually knowing where it's going and actually approving it because they know exactly where it's going? And then when we see things like what's taking place inside of Portland, you got to ask yourself with the police. You got to ask yourself whether or not they're aware of it. Remember how she talked about them taking advantage of disenfranchised people when we start talking about homeless people and everything else? You guys remember Richard?
Grab it right in your head, fat fuck. Anytime, fat boy.
When the man's not losing his mind, he's actually a pretty nice dude. He's the one that Antifa's using to burn flags. He's the one that they're using to, like, provoke. They're using him for all sorts of stuff, and it's extremely sad. It's sad that people like him are being used by Antifa out on the street because they provide him a shelter, they provide him a home. These are the types of people that those NGOs can pour money into and still fund those camps. 3M Forge coming in and gifting out 5. Speak the truth. Memberships.
I'll fuck your ass up. I ain't afraid to go to jail. I will fuck your ass up.
You tell
him. Try me, fat fuck.
Like, does any of that behavior seem like he is in the right mental state? He's not, and that's why they use him. And they continue to use these people.
I will fuck you up! You and Brian, you've been the wrong person! Try me, Megan! I'll fuck you up, and I'll get a knife! I'll sting every one of you, motherfucker! I will fuck you up! I will fuck your ass up! I will fuck your ass up! If I go to jail, I don't give a shit! I will fuck your ass up! I will fuck you up!
Jay the Stray, I understand he's a longtime Rose City Antifa member, but there's a reason he got pulled in there. He's clearly not in the right mental capacity. Like, this man, in my opinion, right? Like, good luck having him make his own medical decisions. He can't do it. If you were to sit him down in front of a psychologist, there is a very huge probability that this man is going to be deemed mentally incompetent. If he goes to court and he tries for, like, insanity and things like that, he's probably going to end up winning. So these are the predatory tactics that I'm talking about that are being used by Antifa. Look at this guy. He's not normal. He's got clear mental issues. Infested with demons. I see in the chat. These are the people that they're using.
I will fuck you up! Punk! No! I will fuck you up, fat boy!
Okay!
Anytime, fatty! Anytime, fat fuck! I got a knife, I'd grab up your ass! Fat fuck! Say all you want, fat fuck!
It's sad. I mean, he's got people that are here, and they don't lead him away. They let him be out here.
Like, truthfully, just looking at this dude, my heart kind of breaks for him. I mean, if you look at his body language, how he's acting, everything else, and I'm sure we've got, like, I'll have to call my friend, the psychologist here, get her on the phone maybe, but it's very clear that Richard himself, to me, it's clear that he's probably mentally ill. And these are the people that Antifa is using. I see it right down in there. Tall Wall 76, Antifa cannon fodder. Nailed it across the board. Even the man's body language, the way he talks, just picking up random things, throwing them on the ground. This is all signs that, like, the dude has massive mental illness and nobody cares. They just let it happen. Now, I got to give David Medina a huge shout out because David Medina actually interviewed one of the Portland Police Bureau officers. I believe this took place last night. And listen to this conversation that he has with him. In my opinion, this is probably one of the most important conversations that have taken place between citizen journalists and law enforcement officers over in the city of Portland.
I respect your opinion. I guess my initial take was bad, about us as, like, individual officers.
Well, people don't understand.
We've been kind of getting labeled with something that I know isn't factual and accurate.
But at some point.
Well, at some point,
though, if you see evil going on for so long and you stay silent and complicit in it, and your city goes.
I wouldn't say we stay silent. Our entire crowd control team resigned.
I know.
I would say we stay silent.
Well, it hasn't changed. So it hasn't changed, though. You guys, people quitting is not silence. It's giving up.
That puts me in a political position. I need to do my job as a sworn law enforcement.
So what he's talking about is their entire riot squad basically quitting back in 2020. Because the Portland Police Bureau refused to back them. The city refused to back them. And so they all walked away. They were like, heck with this. We're not dealing with it. And they all walked away. And this officer is making a very good distinction, thankfully, where he says he's trying to basically stay out of politics. His job is a law enforcement officer. And the problem is he just trapped himself into that in this conversation with Mr. Medina.
Officer in Oregon, in the city of Portland.
And you took an oath to protect the people of Portland, and your oath is being interfered by politics.
Well, then you help out, right? Or anybody can voice your opinion.
Then you help out. So he almost, like, without acknowledging it, acknowledges that that's the issue.
But me, I have to be neutral.
I'm not saying you need to be political, but you need to speak up when your oath is being threatened. You swore an oath, and they're threatening that. You don't have to. That's not political. That's right and wrong. I just want to see the city better, that's all. I don't need you to be a Republican or anybody. I just need you to just speak up. I need you guys to speak up when you guys see the evil political people that are literally, like, these guys' friends tying your guys' hands behind your back. And you know what's happening. One of you guys got to speak up, man. I mean, how much further are we going to let this go? Seriously. I love this city, dude.
I think if you watch, like, all of Bob Day's
press conferences and what he's done since he's taken the job.
Here he goes, trying to stand up for the chief.
About a lot of things, and he's garnered a lot of support.
I don't doubt that Bob Day
was in 2020.
Yeah, I don't doubt that Bob Day is a great guy. He probably is a great guy outside of law enforcement. But with the way I see him bow down to these people in the city council, that's not a leader. That's not a chief. That's someone that is complicit in allowing this bullshit to continue, man. How much more of this are you guys going to take for our whole city, for everybody just to move out? There just be these guys left?
I'm not trying to minimize this or what's happening here. After everything that happened in 2020 and that team got defunded and this and that, our murder rate went from like 25 up to 100 in multiple years. And that was super bad. We're finally starting to get on top of that with a depleted...
It's the same thing that Newsom was talking about as far as the murder rate and everything else goes. People are just, quite simply put, not reporting crimes anymore. There was somebody that was on the streets that OD'd on fentanyl and got guarded by a citizen journalist for 2 hours before the Portland police showed up the other day. There's so many people that are just out on the streets ODing on a daily basis in Portland and nobody gives a crap. And the city's making the matter worse. This guy knows it. There's no doubt in my mind that this guy knows it. That's an assumption on my behalf, but I believe that this guy knows that based on this conversation and his body language.
So I respect what you're saying. I just, as an officer, I just go back to the initial thing. I don't think for people to lump us into other stuff going on, it isn't really fair.
Yeah, but a little bit of it is, I don't think you guys are those things, but a little bit, you guys have to have some kind of accountability for allowing this all to happen, for allowing your chief to go out there, go on CNN, and talk about all these guys like nothing's happening here, everybody's just in costumes, and these guys are the problem. The federal government's not the problem, and you guys know that, and the media knows that.
I respect...
The federal government's not the problem. Your chief's going out there acting like nothing's going on down here. He nailed it. He absolutely nailed it. They know exactly what's taking place. They know exactly where the problem lies. They're tied in politically. They're tied in because these people sign their paychecks. You know they want to say words, but they can't do it because they're in uniform and they're on duty. Meanwhile, we had that, who I believe was an Antifa member, talking the other day about a member of the Portland Police Bureau going down there and actually helping them out. We showed that interview on this channel. So when we start talking about systematic issues that are flowing through, and you have a police chief that is sympathetic to what's taking place out here on the streets, you have money that's flowing in from the city going down into nonprofits that are fueling this madness, then you have the city spending almost $250,000, allegedly, almost $250,000 and a quarter funding this little Antifa camp just to take out their trash, give them warnings 24 hours ahead so they can get their crap out of the way. How much money is actually being poured in by the city to this? And then you have legislators that are passing and making laws, making it easier for them. You have judges that are refusing to prosecute certain crimes against certain individuals. And that drives policy for the Portland Police Bureau, because if the judges aren't prosecuting, the Portland police aren't wasting their times on the crime. They're not even allowed to drive cars down here right now. So I've been told. They're not even allowed to drive cars through this block. That's why you have so many officers on bikes down there. But even then, you don't ever see the officers doing proactive policing down there. Why? Probably because of policy and directives, and they're probably passed down via email and not even published. Policy by email is a very big problem in law enforcement. Incog Faraday coming out, gifting out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. This is the issue. This is the crux of it. Sending in the National Guard is a Band-Aid. It's going to stop the violence. It's going to allow the ICE facility to operate a little bit better. That's going to help. But the real issue, the real heart of the issue, is systematic within the city of Portland, Seattle, and all of these other Democrat-ran cities, major ones, where you have these issues taking place. Con, hey, Matt, I came across a video on Facebook that showed Mandani saying they'd kill ICE agents. Can you confirm if it's real? I haven't seen the video, my friend. So no, I can't confirm whether or not that one's real. I can't. I wish I could. I've seen Mandani saying some crazy stuff in the past, but I can't confirm whether or not the video of him saying that's real or not. No, I can't do that. Here, Here's another incident that takes place. This lady doesn't even lose her crap. This is taking place in Portland. You've got a bunch of drug addicts within a school zone, and she goes up to confront them. She didn't even bother calling the police first.
Hey there. Do you see this says? It says school zone. School zone. That right there is a school. School's in session. Doing drugs right here in a school zone is going to get you a felony. You guys got 2 minutes, and then I'm calling bike squad. They're on speed dial. Yep. You guys got to take this shit and take it out of the school zone. All right. That's fine. You can do your fucking drugs, just not in front of the kids. It's a wrong thing to do.
There's other fucking ways how to approach people and say, like, how are you doing right now?
How you doing right now?
Now, ask yourself this question. Why do you think this woman felt it was better to walk up to a group of drug addicts doing drugs inside of a school zone versus just calling the police and reporting it? It took 2 hours for them to get out there on a dead body the other day. 2 hours. Portland has a serious shortage of law enforcement officers. They had an exodus of law enforcement officers. People don't want to work as officers for the city of Portland. And the policies that they have greatly restrict the officer's ability to do their job, to the point where this woman has to go out and put herself in danger, which you're about to see, just to kick drug addicts out of a school zone.
I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm protecting the kids. Yep. This is a school zone. This is a school zone. This is a school zone.
I'm not very professional of you at all.
I'm not a professional. I'm a mama. Take the drugs out of the school zone. That's the whole point.
I'm on the fucking public block.
Good for you.
Why don't you get the phone out of my fucking face, dude?
Get your fucking drugs out of my street, dude.
Get the phone out of my fucking face, dude. Fuck out of here with that shit, dude.
Get the drugs out of here, and I will.
You don't have permission to film me.
You're in public. You don't have the right to say that I don't.
You don't have permission to fucking film me. Get the shit out of here, man.
Get the drugs out of here.
Get that fucking phone out of my face, dude.
I'm gonna mace you. I'm gonna mace you. Get the drugs out of here. Get the drugs out.
I'm taking a walk
then. Get the drugs out.
Yeah, you guys saying that he can barely stand right. If you look at the crack torch in his hand, plus like that little straw, dude's probably about to light up some pills, some fentanyl, and do his little tooting.
Get the drugs out of here. You're in a school zone.
Get that fucking phone out of my face,
I'm going to mace you.
Get that phone out of my face, dude. You don't got permission to film me, man.
Get out.
Get that fucking phone out of my face, man.
Get out of here with the goddamn... I'm going to mace you again with the goddamn drugs.
There's his face for you, for when you see him out there. Right there. This is all crap, and I want you to think about this. I showed you a video the other day of the city of Portland, or of the homeless lady that lived in the camper, that was talking about how horrible it is the city continues to pass out paraphernalia so that they can continue to do these drugs. It's not even about needles. They pass out pipes. They pass out lighters. They pass out all that crap. So the city itself is funding this job. Like, what's taking place out here? The city itself is funding it. Their policies are allowing it to take place. Their policies are causing a shortage in law enforcement. And on top of that, you also have money flowing into nonprofits that are funding Antifa. All of this crap is taking place inside these cities.
You don't have permission to film me.
You don't have permission to do drugs in my school zone.
Get out. Face, dude.
Get out.
Get out of my face.
Get out. Can you call for me, please?
Get out of here.
Now she asked for the cops to come.
Your face is going to be all over the place, all over this neighborhood and all over social media.
That's fucking fine. Fuck, fine. Film me if I'm filming.
Get the drugs out of the school zone. I think I'm okay. Thank you. Thank you.
See how hard it is for that dude to move, like how slow he's moving, all that other crap. Dude, these folks are being poisoned by fentanyl, like put it into their own system, and the city's supplying them like the ability to actually do that. They're I don't want to use the term funding them, but they kind of are. Because when you end up providing the different like crack torches, when you end up providing the tinfoil, when you end up providing the tutors, when you end up providing all of that stuff, it frees up money for them to actually spend on the narcotics themselves. Kyron says, hey, Matt, I came across a video. Oh, yeah, I already talked about that one. Excuse me. Yeah, I wish I could validate that, man, but I literally can't. And I'm not even sure if I gave Incog Faraday the shout out for gifting out the 5 Speak the Truth memberships right before that. DWD says, bring back mental institutions. I'm with you on that one. They definitely need brought back. All right. So I told you guys I'm going to start hammering down on some of these politicians yesterday. This is one that I'm hammering out on. I looked into him a little bit further because I'm going to keep track on him. Illinois State Rep. Han Hu, or what, however the heck he pronounces his name. Let's listen to his video of what he said before we get into why he is completely and totally wrong and he needs to get his like pee-pee smashed.
There were ICE agents in our neighborhoods on the north side of Chicago. We went there to investigate and make sure that we are protecting our neighbors from being abducted from ICE agents. And when we were behind these ICE agents, they sandwiched us in our car. And then they went to the passenger side and pulled a gun to my face and to my colleague's face. And they threatened us and wanted to bash in the windows. And in 2025, if they can do this to an elected official, they would do that to everyone and all of us. And that's fucking bullshit. And we gotta make sure that we fight back, and we gotta make sure that we protect our neighbors. And in that interim, they were literally trying to find hardworking Americans, people who were out there working their jobs in landscaping, in construction. And that is horrific that they're targeting immigrants and refugees right now. So we have to fight back. We gotta make sure we protect our neighbors. We gotta make sure that everyone here know their rights. And we gotta get rid of this fascist machine and these ICE agents that are terrorizing our streets. So I say to you, I want you all to look at this number below. Please contact this number if you see ICE sightings in our neighborhoods, because we have to keep ourselves safe.
Contact this number below if you see ICE agents over inside of our neighborhoods. He says that they're going after U.S. citizens. They're not. They're going after illegals. ICE doesn't target U.S. citizens. And by the way, CBP has the actual legal authority to go after and confront people within 100 miles of the U.S. border. This is the incident that he's talking about. Now, the other thing that he didn't talk about is he's busy causing... Shush. The other thing that he doesn't talk about as he sits around calling everybody a fascist is the fact that he disobeyed lawful orders of these federal law enforcement officers. He continued to follow them. He continued to stalk them. Now, here's the truth about what's going on. This man was stalking the federal law enforcement officers to report their position because in his mind, he thinks that they are going after and taking out U.S. citizens and that he's protecting hardworking Americans. And they're not. ICE isn't targeting Americans. They're targeting illegal aliens. And there's a $50,000 bounty on their head. And when you have a vehicle stalking federal agents and there's a $50,000 kill bounty given out by the cartels, yeah, it's a bit of a problem. That opens up reasonable suspicion, and they should be worried about doing it. They should be worried about going up and stalking these federal agents. But this guy, he doesn't listen. He quite literally ignores a lawful order. Here is the video that he's referencing. There's no evidence whatsoever that they tried to break his window or that they wanted to break his window. They're just taking pictures of him through it so they can document who this nut job is. He's shouting, "I'm a state rep," as if somehow that precludes him from being capable of following the law.
I'm State Representative Han Nguyen. I'm State Representative Han Nguyen.
These guys are telling us to stop following.
I'm State Representative Han Nguyen.
They're U.S.
Okay, and so there you have the guy that's actually filming, whoever's with State Representative Han Nguyen, flat out saying they told us to stop following them. They gave him a lawful order. That is the whole reason they stopped this vehicle. Because they're following them, reporting their locations. It puts their lives at risk. $50,000 kill bounty, cartel. Red on KK says Chinese influence from Vancouver to San Francisco.
Customs and Border Patrol.
I'm State Representative Han Wen.
There's three agents behind us. Why is my window not working?
I'm State Representative Han Wen.
Somehow they're able to open my windows. These people are, there's three officers in front of us, three officers I'm State Representative behind us.
Said somehow they're able to open our windows. He said his window's not working. They're basically claiming that they took electronic control over their windows. That's what it sounds like. Mary Dean says, thanks, Matt, for all that you do. The compassion you have for this country is amazing. Love your stream. Keep up the good fight. God bless.
Han Wen.
He has I'm State Representative Han Wen.
Thank you, Mary.
There's three officers behind us.
I'm State Representative Han Wen.
Okay, I'm going to keep following this guy. This guy's, this other car behind us.
Yeah, they just put a gun.
Yeah, they just had a gun.
Yeah, they did pull a gun out because you're stalking federal law enforcement agents since there's a $50,000 kill bounty on him. They just told you to stop following him and you're doing it. Pat Loudon says these people will continue to do this until someone gets arrested and the president is set. Precedent, I believe, is what you meant. Kenneth, he's reading a script. It's almost the same verbiage I've been hearing across the lower 48s. Democrats are insisting violence all the way down from Congress. Correct. You know, when I first heard the term insurrection thrown out, you know, hold on, let's finish this because it shows he continues to follow the facts.
We're at Montrose and Kimball now, telling us to stop following them. I guess the other car behind me was following me. I didn't realize, but now we're at Montrose. Okay, we're heading west on Montrose from Kimball.
Literally reporting out their positions, direction of movement, everything as it goes. Now, when I first heard the term insurrection that was being thrown out with all this different crap that was going on, I gotta admit, I was a bit shaky on it at first. But the more I dive into this situation, it is very, very clear that there is an entire political system that is currently set in place to circumvent the laws of the United States of America, and they're urging U.S. citizens to violate those laws to attack federal law enforcement officers, to report their locations, helping out a foreign terror organization in order to get them targeted and killed. That meets the definition of insurrection, period. Tom Bone says they call themselves anti-fascists, but their tactics are literally mirror images of what the fascists did in the 20s and 30s to take over Germany. Right. They're using, you know, part of me wants to call them terrorists. Part of me wants to call them something else. Anarchists is the best that I can go, but definitely an insurrection. This video that I'm about to put up on your screen, I believe took place over in Cicero. Cicero is a suburb of Chicago. Same place that I believe that gentleman, I can't even pronounce his freaking name, was just up on the screen talking about stalking the feds, reporting their location, all of that stuff. You want to see evidence that what they're doing is actually taking effect and that people, in fact, are causing an insurrection? This video will do it for you. Again, this is a suburb of Chicago over in the city of Cicero where you have federal agents that were inside of a parking lot trying to do their job and you have a bunch of citizens, anarchists, terrorists, insurrectionists, whatever you want to call them, they end up going over and impeding in the federal law enforcement investigation that's being conducted. Y'all see this? This is coordinated. This is being coordinated by government officials. The definition of insurrection. State government officials passing along information, demanding people partake, encouraging people to partake in an actual insurrection, stopping the federal government from enforcing the law.
Thank you.
See the amount of people that are over there? There has to be a dozen vehicles-ish that are taking part in this. Probably about a dozen vehicles that are taking part in this, where they ambush these federal troops, or excuse me, these federal officers, to try to stop them from doing their job. That's what's taking place in this video, and it's being passed up by representatives of the government on all sorts of different levels. Semi-truck. At what point do we realize how big of an issue this is here in the United States of America? These people are 1,000% insurrectionists. They are 1,000% trying to stop the federal government from doing what it needs to do. Mark Demoline, click, click, boom, already. Yeah, it's probably that time for the click, click, boom to take place. By the way, they keep going. Now, probably the craziest part about all of this is these people are actually violating federal law by doing this. And they feel empowered to the point where they blast it on social media, hoping, not thinking it's going to get hidden, but hoping to get clicks, likes, and views on it. Chuck Moore says, look into Oregon Wildlife Refuge occupied by militia. Shot a guy in an ambush versus letting this go for years with violence and in a city versus empty build. Yeah, I will. That man speeding down the wrong side of the road. Blocking him. Situations like this is where law enforcement just needs to get out and start freaking, like, I hate to say it, just laying pipe. You need to get down and just start laying the hammer down and just beating the crap out of these dudes and arresting them. If they have to use force, let them use force. But in no way, shape, or form should they be running. They should be standing their ground, and other law enforcement agencies should be able to come and assist. And every single one of those people in those vehicles that's falling behind them needs to get freaking smashed. This incident within itself needs to have a major investigation done. Those license plates need to get found, and all of those people need to be arrested and charged for taking part in this. And those federal agents need to be kicking in doors and taking these people into custody. That man that I just ended up showing up on the screen here a little bit ago, in my opinion, he also needs to get taken into custody. Here's another one. How many of these need to actually exist before people realize what a massive, massive problem this has become? Again, I used to think that all of this was just a bunch of rhetoric and that it was the right pushing stuff until I actually looked into it. And what I ended up discovering is that it's not. It's not rhetoric. It's not an overuse of language. It is quite literally what's happening here in the United States of America. And I hope that holds a little bit of gravity coming from my mouth.
You have Democrats in New York City, for example, encouraging the rioters who are assaulting ICE officers, removing criminal aliens from their communities. You have Democrats trying to create tracking apps to tell the criminals, the fugitives, the rapists, the killers, the cartel members, where and when ICE is going to be. You have Governor Pritzker trying to get ICE out of his city to protect illegal alien monsters who are committing crimes against children, against women, instead of protecting American citizens. This is a party that has embraced full-scale insurrection against the laws of the United States. You look at that arrest in Canal Street.
I personally can't disagree with a single word he just said based on everything that I've been able to see since I started looking into this. Those aren't lies. Those aren't inflammatory statements. Those are just flat-out true statements. I don't even like this guy. Like, he annoys me. But those are true statements. Jay the Stray. The Oregon occupation of Mueller Wildlife Refuge was the Bundys, Three Percenters, and Oath Keepers. They did not damage, and Levoy Finicum was masked. I have to look into it.
For example, those nine individuals, all illegal immigrants from Africa, almost all of whom were released into the country by the Biden administration, you have among them dozens of arrests. Forgery, counterfeiting, drug dealing, narcotics trafficking, assault, battery, theft, domestic violence. And Democrats are saying these illegal aliens caught and released by the Biden administration not only should stay in our country, but they'll violently attack any federal officer who tries to remove them. And then more breaking news reported out by Fox's own Bill Malusion. Three people just died in California, killed by an illegal alien on the road driving a semi-truck that was allowed into the country, caught and released by Joe Biden, and put on the road by Gavin Newsom.
And for those of you that don't know what he's talking about, man, maybe I ought to just take that video and put that up here. That semi-truck incident is unreal. Unreal. Absolutely unreal what took place yesterday.
Now, take a look. This is exclusive dash cam video. That is now the subject of several law enforcement investigations, shows the moment a red semi-truck plowed into a number of vehicles on the westbound 10 freeway in Ontario just after 1 p.m. yesterday. The CHP told the LA Times the driver of this big rig is a 21-year-old man who is now under arrest on suspicion of driving under the influence of drugs. A total of four semis were involved and also four passenger vehicles, one of them exploding in flames. Three people were killed and four others were taken to local hospitals.
It is just a blip on the radar of what these policies are allowing to happen. You're right. Never even hit the brakes. Just flew right through. This is a blip on the dang radar. Again, I used to think that these policymakers, that these politicians were just being very inflammatory in their statements until I actually started looking into it. And what I discovered was on a daily basis, you have instances like this that are occurring. On a daily basis, you have assaults that are occurring, that you also have massive amounts of money that are flowing in from different government organizations. You have government officials that are pushing to have people do this. You have government officials that are organizing this stuff. You have government officials that are backing the insurrectionists in this country that want to allow this to happen. This is no longer a theory. This isn't just political rhetoric. This isn't any of that. These are just facts. And this is taking place in our country. And if nothing is done about this, if this continues to happen, you are going to have those 3%ers. You are going to have those 1%ers. You're going to have everybody showing up in order to make things happen. Over inside of New York last night, this was the scene. Why? Because those people ended up getting ripped off the street for being violent. We saw them in Nick Shirley's videos. We saw it in that female reporter's videos, whose name I can't remember to save my life. Savannah Hernandez, I believe. I hope I didn't. No, Savannah Gonzalez? I forget. Look, either way, these people are showing up because they got nine violent offenders off of the street that were assaulting people, that were like literally impeding on their civil rights just for walking down the street, filming and asking questions. They claimed it was their street. The man in particular that ended up claiming it was his street and demanding that Nick get off of it was an illegal alien who was wanted for assault, if I remember correct, or at least had an assault charge in the past. Why is he back on the street? Why are all of these people standing up for them? And it's very, very clear because you have the same rhetoric being pushed out by their freaking politicians and their officials telling them it's okay for them to rise up against the federal government. Sean Hughes says this is the third time a month ago an illegal immigrant doing a U-turn on the Florida Turnpike killed three people. I guarantee you it's happened more. It's just the third time that you're aware of. And if all of this crap continues to happen, ladies and gentlemen, what we are seeing taking place over inside Ireland that I talked about is going to take place and happen here in the United States of America. American citizens are going to start taking matters into their own hands, particularly in places like Portland, Oregon, where law enforcement isn't doing their job. Where you have people that are complaining about them not even enforcing very, very simple laws. This took place over inside of Ireland. I'm going to end with this video, and I want you guys to watch it. Because this is the future of America. The United States of America always trails just a couple of years behind the UK and the EU. What the heck's going on over there? All of that weird stuff ends up making its way over into the United States of America. This is what happened. You ended up having a man accused of trying to abduct a little girl. Citizens of Ireland don't even bother calling the authorities. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, peace, love, happiness, and God bless. If you haven't yet, make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Make sure you're following. Make sure your notification bell is turned on. I'm out of here.
You kidnapped no, baby.
No,
you
no,
tried to kidnap a child.
Tried to kidnap children.
Tried to kidnap a child, you bastard.
Kill him. Kill him. Kill him.
Get him out.
Yeah, drag him out.
Kidnap a child, you bastard.
Got the conscience. Get him out. Get him out. Kill him, lads. Smash his head in. Kidnap him. Yeah, smash him up, mate.
Get
away. Give it to him.
Go on, big son.
That's it, big man.
Go on.
Yeah.
Go on, son. Get him.